now time for Tassie Time.
The work of a modern master. 200 for Ricky Ponting.
Mystic Journey over the top takes the lead. She is what brings the boat up. Mystic Journey's won the All-Star by an electorate quarter.
But he says, ta-da on Bowtide. Some Bowtide brilliance here today. He'll go back-to-back all right. He's making a mess of them. Bowtide, absolutely brilliant.
Richard for 10.
And Steve Old. Time for Tassie Time as we talk Tasmanian sport and all of the hot topics in Tassie sport now with Steve Old. He's our man in Tassie and he joins us now. Good morning to you, Steve.
Gareth, how are you, mate?
Good, thank you, mate. We'll have a chat about your points in the next 20 or 25 minutes, but we've got a guest on the line here. It's Simon Brookhouse, of course, the CEO of the Jack Jumpers. It was wonderful to watch NBL basketball at Launceston last night, and what a performance in the latter part of that game that Bryce Cotton put on for the locals there in Tassie. He was at his brilliant best, and Simon Brookhouse joins us now on Tassie Time. Good morning to you, Simon.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you. How about Bryce Cotton there last night? Obviously, the Wildcats have been the best side in the NBL for more than 3 to 4 decades now, and Bryce Cotton, probably the greatest import that the competition's ever had, and he was quiet in that first half, but then he showed his brilliance in spectacular fashion in the final minutes of that ball game there last night against the Breakers.
Yeah, look, he just he rises to the top under pressure, and I think that if you look at his career, a lot of his big games come in second halves when the games are on the line, and he proved last night why he's such a good asset, not only to the Wildcats, but to the league, and the crowd were enthralled by all of it, which was fantastic.
Simon, I didn't obviously get up there last night. I know you were there, but I'm getting up there Friday night when New Zealand play the Bullets. But on telly, it looked like a great spectacle. Everything, you were happy with the crowd and the stadium and stuff. It looked fantastic on ESPN.
Yeah, look, I mean, the crowd was capacity, which is fantastic. Obviously, we've got restricted numbers with COVID, but just to see so many fans come out and watch basketball that hasn't been in Launceston for such a long time, I think everyone left very excited. It was a bit of a slow start to the game, but it really built, and New Zealand really took it up to Perth, and I think that the next 5 games New Zealand have, they'll be really, really competitive, and hopefully we'll win a few.
Does it just prove to you, Simon, obviously... it's been in the pipeline now for a long time, the Jack Jumpers, and they'll be in the competition next year, but it just did last night in a way prove to you that Tassie's craving for professional sport?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that just the media around it, the support, the feeling of the crowd and everybody who was there, you could just tell that they're just excited to have elite professional sport and a national competition here. And from our own point of view at the Jack Jumpers, it really... gives you a real lift to know that, you know, they're behind us. And I think that just last night alone, so many people were in their Jack Jumpers gear, and I thought that was great. But there was a real sense of almost a homecoming to professional sport last night, and a feeling that it really belongs. And I think, you know, Tasmania should be proud of what they put on last night and what we're going to put on in the future.
Mate, only 6 months away from Jack Jumpers coming in October in the next NBL season. How's the deck going? All on track? Going all right?
Yeah, the deck's going on well and truly on track. The builders are working around the clock as we speak, and I think that, you know, the last report I had that it was slightly ahead, which is fantastic. So we need to keep it working for that first game in October.
And Simon, it's an historic day because the Jack Jumpers have announced this morning that you've signed your first ever player.
Yeah, really exciting to have our first player signed, a local young man from Launceston in Sydenes. He's a fantastic player. He works really hard, and we're really proud, actually, that, you know, to have our first signing to be a local kid, and he's grown up here playing basketball. He's represented Tasmania at all age groups, and he's represented Australia at under-15s, under-17s, was in the under-19s squad that unfortunately didn't get to play because of COVID, but Scott Roth, the coach, is really excited. He's a kid who just wants to get better. And that's what we want to do for him, and give him that opportunity to get better and be a better basketballer, and then hopefully take up a college scholarship next year.
Mate, just to tick off how well you and the Tassie Jack Jumpers team are doing, you and Christine and the team, you also signed up another new partner today.
Yeah, we did. We signed up the local motor group, and they're through their Mazda dealerships here in Tasmania, so they've got Burnie, Devonport, Launceston, and Hobart Mazda. And, you know, it's another great partner for us. They're a Tasmanian local firm and really good people. And Sam Nixon, their managing director, has been talking to us since day one. And he's a big supporter of Tasmania having their own teams. And we've been able to come to an arrangement, which is fantastic.
And what about the local Tassie businesses? Are they getting behind your organisation?
Yeah, Gareth, they really are. And I think that, you know, it's a testament to the hard work the team's doing, Christine and Sarah particularly, and seeing that we're now getting companies reach out to us. The momentum's starting to build, and only today after the announcement, we had a major national brand actually reach out and say, look, you guys are doing really good things. We want to be involved. And I think that's a sign that, you know, people, Tasmania's on the map and the Jack Jumpers are on the map. And whilst we're committed to partnering with as many great Tasmanian brands as we can, I think it's also fantastic for the state of Tasmania. The national brands are now looking to be involved down here.
How's our coach fitting in, mate? I know I've caught up with him a couple of times. I know he's eagerly chatting to players around the world, and I think he's been doing you and him have been doing a video to get out there to go around the world promoting Tasmania. How's he faring in relation to chasing some, you know, big name players?
Yeah, look, it's tough at the moment, Steve, because the competitions around the world are all still going, and you know, players are in their mindset of doing the best they can for their current teams. But we've opened the door on a number of discussions with players in Europe, college-based Australians in the US who are coming home. And we're hopeful that, you know, in the next probably 3 to 4 weeks, we might be able to make an announcement with some prominent players who want to come back to Australia and be part of what is a great league. And I think the NBL showed last night, and with the likes of a Bryce Cotton going around, just how good a competition it is. And people are standing up and taking notice, and I think that, you know, we'll get signings. It's just timing at the moment. The leagues all around the world have been disrupted. There's still a feeling that there may be a summer league in the NBA. There may not. So players are just waiting to see what their best options are. But we're out there swinging, so to speak.
It's exciting. Hopefully, you get a big name. I'm dreaming maybe Matty Dellavedova. In fact, I thought your major signing this morning might have been Bryce Cotton. You might have locked him up and said, you're not going anywhere, Bryce. But I'm looking forward to seeing what the Jack Jumpers can do, because I desperately want to see Scotty Roth ride that horse on Launceston Cup Day 1 year after he wins the championship in his first season, Simon.
Well, I think we'd all like to see him. Yes. I'm not sure the horse is going to be all that thrilled by it all. He's a big man, Scott, but we may need to get a draft horse.
Yes. That's what I was thinking.
You wouldn't be backing it to win the cup, but...
Well, only if it started today.
Yes, that's a very good point you make. Hey, Simon, congratulations. I was watching it on TV last night here in Melbourne, and it was great to see the local people of Tasmania get behind the sport of basketball, and I think everybody's excited to see the Jack Jumpers next year. But the New Zealand Breakers are giving us a little bit of an entree that's allowing us to see players like Bryce Cotton step out and play some basketball in Tassie. Well done, mate. Thanks for your time, as always.
Thanks, Gareth. Thanks, Steve. Good to talk to you.
There's Simon Brookhouse, the CEO of the Jack Jumpers. And, Aldi, it was great, wasn't it? And that last play I mentioned at the top, like Bryce Cotton, to do what he's been able to do for the competition, but that, I would imagine, would have young kids watching that game, if it was live in Tassie or on TV, that would inspire a generation in a way to make sure that they follow the Jack Jumpers and play some basketball.
Oh, 100%, mate. I think, you know, New Zealand, I think, thought they'd won the game when the clock ticked over. They put another second or two on the clock, and you pretty much thought, it's over. And then he just... And if you haven't seen the shot, go to social media and have a look at it. It was like a pump fake from, you know, a metre and a half outside the three, you know, coming forward. Like, it was just an unbelievable shot. But you shouldn't not expect that from Bryce Cotton. That's the scary part. He just does it every time. So the crowd... Yeah, I was really lucky. And I just do want to mention, I just want to take my hat off to Simon and Christine and his team, because the one thing they'll do is, I know they've got those games up there in Lonnie. They're at the Silverdome at the moment. Yeah, the Silverdome's a great venue, but it does need a lot of work. So they've had to makeshift it to get it right for these NBL games, to house New Zealand and the other sides. But Simon's team, which is only about half a dozen people, is pretty much helping run these games and just doing an amazing job while they're also trying to get the Jack Jumpers up. So I just want to say to everyone, rest assured, even though I asked a question about player signings, don't worry, they're going to be knocking down our door. It's not the right time for them to be signing with clubs yet, but I understand the interest is out there, and I've got all the faith that we are going to make some unbelievable announcement in the coming weeks and months. So just everyone out there in basketball land, and especially in Tasmania, stay tuned, because it's going to be an exciting journey that's starting now, and it's going to be unbelievable.
This is Tassie Time, Gareth Hall, Steve Old with you as we talk about the hot topics in Tassie sport. Peter Staples to join us a little later, of course, with the latest racing news. But there's an election going on at the moment in Tassie, which means there's promises from both sides of government and for the community club sector. And I know that you'd be campaigning pretty strongly, Oldie, is that this is where you can, behind closed doors, maybe get some nice deals for local sporting clubs.
Yeah, mate, we've been doing a lot of work with our clubs, Tas brand, getting out there talking to both the current government and the Labor opposition about what they can do for community sport and clubs around Tassie. And it's great to see the government only last week on Friday announced some great initiatives that were actually part of our plan, which is to double the money to the Ticket to Play voucher system. So it's up to $200 vouchers for eligible children between 5 and 18 years of age to get involved in sport and activities, which is just a great investment. And they've also doubled the playing field grants money from $5 to $10 million to assist sporting clubs with upgrades for facilities, which is another thing we've been calling on. So hats off to the Premier and the government for that one. I'm sure they're going to do some more announcements. And I think from rumours I'm hearing, Labor might be going to go out later this week and do a few announcements. They've also funded the football facility upgrades for $10 million for them, $8 million to event support and attraction. So the government's done some great announcements so far. There's some I'm sure Labor will do as well. But I think everyone's starting to realise just how important the community sports sector is, and getting not only young but old Tasmanians active and either playing sport or getting, whether it's organised sport or things like walking or whatever it is, it's all just about getting Tasmanians active. So I would be hoping in the coming weeks, we've got an election this Saturday fortnight, so 1st of May, I'd be hoping that there's a few more announcements by the major parties in relation to what they're prepared to do for the community sport, because it is, like hospitality, the backbone of many communities in Tasmania.
Tassie Netball, they want a side in the Suncorp competition, which is the national competition. You've got your basketball side. They just launched a campaign for maybe a potential name for this site. Are you confident that they will get the green light by the organisers of the Suncorp competition and Tassie will have another national site?
Look, if you look at the participation rates of netball in Tasmania and the history of the great players we've had here in Tasmania, I would be extremely confident we'll get a team. I think it is predominantly a female participation sport, and I think the female side of sport deserves it. I think we've proven in the basketball stakes at the moment that Tassie's hungry for national sport like AFL. They want to have a basketball side in national competition. Our cricketers, we need to get a netball side. So Netball Tasmania's put out to start off by let's get a team name. So they've started up a competition where people can fill in a form and register their Tassie name suggestion. And once we get that name locked in, I guess then they can really start to promote the name and you can really start to build a brand around it. And then that all adds to putting pressure on the national netball fraternity to give Tassie a tick. But I could not see a reason why we can't get a Tasmanian netball side in the national Suncorp competition. And how great would it be to see Tasmania represent at the highest level in netball as well. So if you go to nameourtassieteam.com.au, I encourage everyone to get in there and give your team name suggestion. Let's get it in there. Let's get a team name done that we all support, and let's really start to put pressure on getting a Tasmanian team in the national comp of netball, because I just think it'd be an absolutely brilliant outcome if we could get a Tassie netball side.
Yeah, well said. The V8 Supercars, they're heading this weekend to Tasmania at Simon's Plains, and we all know that the Tassie sporting community enjoy their motorsport.
Mate, it is a massive event up at Simmons Plains. It's always been, I think it's Tasmania's largest a crowd attraction sport. When they used to do the 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I think it's only Saturday, Sunday this weekend, but they're expecting over 10,000 a day up at Simmons Plains, given the restrictions. But it is one of the most popular sports in Tasmania. Simmons Plains is always packed out. If you're trying to get a room up there at the moment with NBL basketball up there on Friday night this week with New Zealand playing Brisbane and also the V8 Supercars on, you are struggling to find a room. But if you get up there and just do a day trip, make sure you do it, because Simmons Plains will be decked out fantastically well. It's a great event. People get behind it. If you're into your supercars, make sure you support the event and get behind it. As I said, they're expecting around 10,000 each day. But just also make sure that with all this traffic on the road, getting up to Launceston for that and the basketball, let's just make sure everyone drives safe and goes to the weather. We've got a few issues today with some severe weather warnings with, I think, 100-kilometre winds expected in Tassie. So I just encourage everyone, if they're out in the roads, especially heading to one of these events, to make sure they drive safely and make sure you get to your destination and make sure you get home safely.
And former Collingwood president recently, Eddie McGuire, of course, laid out a detailed, and it's a bit of a bold plan, you would imagine, as well, to introduce a standalone Tassie AFL football side. I think he wants another club as well. By 2028, he was quoted on Footy Classified, his show on a Monday night. He did say, the time has come for all parties wanting a team in Tasmania to put up or shut up. The AFL cops it in whichever way it goes. Politicians make unrealistic demands. Clubs don't want to take any more hits while still trying to get through COVID-19. So having spoken to key people across the AFL of interest, here it goes. And then he released his plan. Do you think it will happen? And do you agree with Eddie's plan?
Yeah, look, it's interesting. I mean, I watched his little display, and I got, you know, full admiration for Eddie. He's obviously a very smart operator, and he knows his businesses and knows how to make money and knows how to run a footy club. But, yeah, there were some interesting things. There were some things I heavily agreed with, and there were some I didn't. And, I mean, he talked about a team, standalone team, by 2028. But then he started talking about from this year onwards, the government has to put up or shut up and put up $20 million a year, and they have to get the federal government to commit $20 million a year from now, forever and a day and stuff. And I guess the frustration from Tasmanians, mate, is that they asked the question that none of these sort of rules were put on other franchises or other teams coming in. Greater Western Sydney, Gold Coast, there wasn't demands put on their state government. And let's be honest, if you put the demand on the state government, you're putting on the ratepayers of Tasmania. Mm-hmm. So you're basically asking the Tasmanians to go from, you know, 7 or 10 million a year to 20 million from now, with a proviso you'll get a team in 7 years' time. So there's $140 million they expect us to kick in before we even have a side. Plus they expect us to get the federal government to put in $20 million. So there's $280 million that goes into the AFL coffers before Tasmania even gets a side. So then he talked about saying that you've got to get a 20th team involved. Well, OK, is he going to put the same demands on the 20th team? I think he talked North Queensland, Northern Territory. Are they going to have the same ask put on them of $20 million from the government, $20 million from the federal government? Then he made comments that, oh, if you had a 20th team, there'd be a minimum of $20 million extra in revenue through the TV networks. Well, OK, if you're going to add the 20th team, or the two teams get that, why does Tassie have to fork the $20 million out if they're going to make $20 million out of media deals? Doesn't that cover Tassie's way into the, you know, as the 19th licence, the fact they're going to make extra money out of TV rights? I have no problem with some of his comments around, yeah, we've got to look at a stadium, lifestyle, leadership. He talked about the university, you know, setting up proper facilities. I agree. If you're going to have a team, you've got to have the backbone of local football being strong. You've got to have all the faculties around it. You've got to add other benefits to not just having a team, but what are all the other spin-off economic and employment opportunities? And I have no problem with some of his ideas. But I do fundamentally think that, you know, this idea of saying that the Tasmanian government put up or shut up, I actually think the Tasmanian government and the Tasmanian people over a long time have actually put up, but we've been told to shut up by the AFL. So I find some of the wording he used a bit derogatory. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with some of it and the basis, but I do think there were some holes in what he said. And I think, as I said, overall, I think there's some real merit in some of the things, but I do find it a bit offensive, and I'm sure, you know, most of Tasmania do, that they demand that we have to put in $20 million a year, get the federal government to put in $20 million a year for another 7 years before we even have an opportunity to have a side. I'm not sure that's, you know, fair to the Tasmanian public, to be honest.
He was also prominent in saying that we need to, or Tasmania needs to have better talent programs. There's not enough players at the moment being drafted from Tasmania.
100%. I mean, you know, local footy has shown that this is the problem, and we've talked about this before. Me and Pete Staples talk about it all the time. Local footy needs an injection of funding from the AFL to get local footy and the local competitions back. You and me have talked about this too, mate, is the competitions are dying. No matter what we say, Gilly and the AFL Taz are doing their best with what they've got. AFL needs to inject a lot more money into local footy, and if we've got a promise from the AFL team, I'm sure the government would inject a lot more money into local football to improve it. The problem is I've said this before, you know, I was president of a club at Kingra where we had a young guy called Kieran Lovell that went off to Hawthorn. A couple of years later, got sent back to Tassie, but now he's gone off to South Australia to play because he believes as a few other players have gone to South Australia, that they've got a better opportunity of being drafted from South Australia than they have Tasmania. That says we have a problem with our local footy. So I have no problem with that concept. We do have to get a better system for local football to get draftees and talent coming through. But we're not going to get that unless we start to get some promises filled about having an AFL team in Tasmania. So I think those sort of things around drafting and stuff will happen and will be fixed if the AFL will commit to Tasmania having a side.
Eddie was also quoted saying, one influential Tasmanian who knows a bit about the Cape has said to me, Macquarie Point, I was thinking this might be you, Steve Holt, Macquarie Point in Hobart right next to the docks, restaurants, nightlife, etc. is smack bang in the centre of town, and that's where you need to build the new stadium.
Mate, Macquarie Point's been sitting there. There's a development corp who runs, it's been there for a long time. It is sitting there looking for a major development. I actually think if you did take out the money side of what it might cost, but having an AFL stadium there with maybe the university and a few other things there as a central hub, it would be magnificent. To have people come into the Hobart City, and I agree with Eddie's comments on that, to have the nightlife of people coming into Hobart City, going to that arena to watch AFL and other sports, and then going back out to our restaurants and cafes in the Hobart area, from a parking, public transport, it does actually make sense. Now, you'd have to investigate it for what it costs from a costing point of view, but I do agree with in that sense that Macquarie Point actually has a lot of boxes it does tick in relation to what it does. But having said that, we do have Blunston Arena across the river that's a magnificent stadium that's run at the moment. It probably just needs to have a stadium roof put on top of it. I'm not sure how costly that would be or whether it could happen, but again, I think that's one of the decisions that have to be made. If we've got an AFL team, again, where's the stadium? But Macquarie Point is sitting there idle and I think could make a magnificent spot for a stadium.
Have you had a chat to the Premier regarding Andy's comments?
No, I haven't chatted to the Premier about it. He's busy electioneering at the moment and I haven't had a conversation through the election, but I'm sure I know how passionate the Premier is about Tassie football, not only getting an AFL side, but about making sure that the quality of local footy is right. So I'm sure I'll be pretty confident that there's a lot of things the Premier sort of agreed with Eddie on, but I'm sure there's some that he didn't agree with Eddie on. So what I'd love to do, I mean, let's be honest, it'd be great to get Eddie and the Premier on our show in the next week or two and have a discussion about it. Because, again, don't get me wrong, I think Eddie Maguire is one of the best footy minds going around, and I think what he put out was about passionately saying, how do we get a deal done to get a Tassie side? I said I don't agree with all of it, but I think his passion was about how do we make the AFL a truly national competition by having a Tassie side and a Northern Territory far north Queensland. I don't think anyone could argue with that.
2028, would you like to see a club before that timeline, or do you think that's the most realistic timeline given by Eddie to have an AFL club ready to go playing in the competition?
All things considered, given we've just come off and we're still in COVID, you know, we're hopefully coming off the back of it, the hit that the AFL's taken, the hit that the Tasmanian government's taken, the hit that the Tasmanian people are taking in relation to economic downturn and stuff, and we're just starting to rebuild. I think a 2028 timeline to get a stadium built, get the economy going, et cetera, does make sense. I mean, we've always said 2025, but I guess no one predicted COVID. So, again, if you think timelines, I don't think 2028's unrealistic, but I think that's what the Premier's been asking for a while, is give us a date, tell us the journey. He set 2025 because that was in the business case, but it also dealt with the current agreements we got. But I'm sure if the AFL come to the Premier of Tasmania and said, we'll give you a team by 2028, no one's going to argue and say we want it by 2025. We just want an answer, and the Tasmanian people do, is are we going to keep injecting money into the AFL with an idea of we're going to have a side by X date, or are we not going to? And if we're not going to, we can start to put some of that AFL money into some other sports. So I think all we want is a realistic answer, and I don't think 2028 is unrealistic.
Yeah, hopefully we get Eddie and the Premier on Tassie time in the next couple of weeks. I know the Premier's busy with an election coming up. And just quickly before we let you go, this was a release from the Tasmanian government yesterday, and it's regarding, of course, the appointment of Steward Mr. Ray Murray at the Office of Racing Integrity. Of course, Ray's overseeing the hearing of the decision of whether Reece Nicholson, who was behind Bully's Delight, should be disqualified or relegated if he broke those rules or not in that Tasmanian Cup back on the 13th of March. Evidence yesterday was taken from and submissions made from driver Reece Nicholson and trainer John Nicholson, plus the owners of that horse. The inquiry was adjourned, whereby Mr. Murray, he will consider his decision. So that will be interesting to see what happens there. It's a big story, not only in Tassie racing, but it might just have ramifications right across the country regarding the decision there from Ray Murray.
Yeah, look, it will, mate. And I know I was only chatting to Steve Devereaux from Taz Trotting yesterday. He's keen to come on and have a chat. Obviously, it was adjourned, so there was no decision made, but I know Steve's more than happy to come on and talk about it once the decision's made, and also talk about, you know, a few initiatives they're hoping to see in the election policies of the major parties going forward. So hopefully we'll get Steve on the next week or so as well.
Good on you, Aldi. Thanks for that. Appreciate your time as always. Catch up with you next week.
Bye, mate.
There we go. Steve Old joining me as he does every Wednesday for Tassie Time. It's 3 minutes past 12.